ॐ सहनाभवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावतीतमस्तमाविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति. Welcome everyone to today's class. Good Gita, chapter 7. Yoga of Knowledge and Wisdom is the chapter. This is class 102. Topic, the vicious do not know or seek Brahman. The vicious do not know or seek Brahman. What does that mean? The vicious do not know or seek Brahman. Who's the vicious? Who's the vicious? Yeah, Ravi?
No, ignorant. People with ignorance.
Ignorant? Ignorance of what?
The knowledge, the self.
The self. Ignorance of the self. This third topic talks about the people in society who do not know God, who don't know Brahman. This group of people have no idea of anything beyond the world. Total spiritual ignorance. And we know people like that. It's not their fault. It's just their makeup. Throughout their life, they merely run after the world. They get involved in perceptions, emotions, and thoughts, just fulfilling their own desires, worldly desires. There's this group of people. So in the spiritual terms, they're called vicious. Now the word vicious means something different. Terrorists, attacks, you know, all sorts of people who, you know, kill people. They're called vicious people. But in those days, vicious is people who are ignorant. So don't put too much emphasis on that word vicious. Yeah, they're not nasty people. They're just ignorant people. Yeah, the direct translation from the Sanskrit to English is vicious, or the nearest word, but that doesn't mean they're nasty, bad people. You may have a person in the family who's ignorant. That doesn't make them vicious. Yeah, so just want to clarify that. So last week we started this topic, and verse 12, it said, the world, I'll just tell you what it says, and whatever natures that are sattvika, rajasika, and tamasika, these know as from me alone. I'm not in them, but they are in me. The world emerges from Brahman as the three qualities. Tamas, ignorance. Rajas, attachment, desires, agitation and passion. Sattva, equanimity, pure, highest state of the mind. These qualities come from Brahman and make up this world. This is the nature of the world. Most people are steeped in ignorance as to the knowledge of this world and themselves. We covered these questions. Who are you? Where did you come from? Where are you going from here? From a spiritual perspective, they have no idea. So this ignorance is rajas. The majority of the people in this world are rajas. Few people are sattva and tamas. Verse 13. Deluded by these natures, composed of the three gunas, qualities, all this world does not know me well, as above them and immutable. The world and all the different beings are therefore made up of the three qualities, sattva, rajas, tamas. Different combination of these three qualities makes up everything in the world. Ravi, could you share that picture again? We showed this picture. I just want everyone to be on the same page before we start. So, Brahman going through the qualities, rajas, tamas, sattva, project this world. Hence, this world is tamas, rajas, sattva. These three qualities you find everywhere in the world. This is the projection of Brahman. And this word projection is important for today's class. Brahman, through these three qualities, projects the world. The world is changing, mutable. Because of these qualities, we see the changing world, we don't see Brahman. Brahman is unchanging, but the world is constantly changing. Thank you, Ravi. Now, is there any questions on that diagram? Does everyone understand how the world is projected? Any clarifications? Shilabim, understand that? Brahman projected through these three qualities projects the world. This world around us, people are all of these three qualities. Everything in the world is made up of these three qualities. Now, so remember that diagram in today's class while we go through the next two verses, yeah? So we start with verse 14. Devi ye saguna mayi mama maya duratyaya mamevaye prabhat yante maya metam tarantite. Devi ye saguna mayi mama maya duratyaya mame vaye prabhat yante maya metam tarantite. Verily, this divine illusion of mine, made of gunas, qualities, is difficult to cross over. Those who seek me alone cross over the illusion. Verily, this divine illusion of mine, made of gunas, qualities, is difficult to cross over. So that diagram we just showed, from the three qualities, Brahman is projected, saying, this divine illusion of mine, the illusion of the world, made of the three qualities, is difficult to cross over. Those who seek me alone cross over the illusion. Does that make sense to everyone? Yeah? Does that make sense? It's important that you understand that. So we're all caught up in that illusion of the world, projected with those three gunas. So it's difficult to cross over from that. This is what the Lord is saying. We're so involved in it. So let's find out in more detail. Please stop me if you don't understand, yeah? It's really important, this first. It's quite difficult to get your head around. So we'll take as much time as we need. So can you do paragraph one?
This world, composed of the three gunas, qualities, superimposed upon the one reality, Brahman. Brahman alone exists. The world projected upon it is an illusion, Maya. Since Brahman is the substratum, the illusion is called divine in this verse.
So as we said, Brahman projected through the three gunas projects this world. Can you put the picture up again? Brahman projected through the three gunas projects this world. We are in that world. Brahman is distorted once it goes through the three gunas. Once it goes through the tamas, rajas, and sattva, Brahman is distorted. Therefore, the world which is projected of Brahman is an illusion. In Sanskrit, the word for illusion is maya. Maya means that which is not. The world is distorted It's a projection of Brahman. Therefore, Brahman is divine. The illusion is also considered divine because this illusion is also Brahman. Thank you. Ravi, thank you.
Could you, sorry, Amitabha, could you just check if your volume, it seems to be coming through low. I thought it was just my side, but a few people, saying that we're getting, it seems quite low for some reason.
Hello, testing, 1, 2, 3, testing. Can you hear me now? Is that better? Hello, testing.
Yeah, that seems better. It just seemed kind of...
Okay, maybe I was, my face was turned.
I feel it's still low.
It's still low?
Yeah, my volume on the computer is 100.
Okay.
Well, I can't put it any louder on my side.
Okay, is that better? Is that better?
No. I can hear you. It's just lower.
I've got everything on full. Let me just check.
Guys, if you have your Bluetooth on, turn it off. Because what I find is if I have my Bluetooth on, like for my watch and stuff, it actually reduces the volume. When I turn the Bluetooth off, it actually increases the volume because it's not sending to anything.
Okay, I've never had this problem before. Can you hear me okay now or is it still low? Let me bring the mic closer. Is that better? Is that any better?
I'm okay. I don't have any issue.
Yeah, any better?
Don't worry about it. It might just be me.
Okay. Everyone on the screen.
Okay as well.
Everyone on the screen who's got the video on, hands up if you can hear me okay. Okay, great. So majority, everyone can hear me. Great. Okay. So what is this world? What is this world? Yeah, Dharmesh.
As you just said, it's Maya.
It's Maya. Meaning?
Illusion.
It's an illusion.
Or Brahman.
What is the original? What is the original source of the illusion?
Brahman.
Brahman. Why is it an illusion? What's the reason for the illusion? Yeah, Vanita.
Because it's projected through rajas, tamas, and sattva, so that causes the illusion in the world.
Perfect. Well done. Thank you. Brahman is the original source of this illusion. So then what does it make this world in? Besides being an illusion, what is this world? We say God is all-pervading, Brahman, divine. This world is also divine. This world is also Brahman. Everything in it is Brahman. Everything you see, feel, touch, taste is Brahman, including ourselves. We're all part of that illusion. So we'll try and, so you're right, and I'm glad everyone understands. So we'll give some examples of this illusion from worldly terms. So you have a more concrete understanding, yeah? If you don't understand any of these examples, let me know. So what is an illusion? So in the desert, if you look, whoever's been to the desert, sometimes you see a mirage. You see it on TV, on the picture, on the movies. We've actually seen the mirage. We were going in a coach in Egypt, and we actually saw the mirage. You see in the distance, palm trees, pond, grass verge. And everyone from the coach could see it. It looks real. From the distance, it looks real. But what do they say? Look, there's a mirage. So automatically people understand it's actually Mirage is illusion. It's a projection of an oasis on the desert. We all know it's a mirage. It's not real, but it looks so real. But you know, in the movies, you see a person roaming around, lost in the desert, thirsty. Heat makes him delusional. To him, it looks real. I can see water. I can see a tree. And they start roaming towards it. Similarly, because of our ignorance of Brahman, we do not see Brahman, we see the illusion. We don't see Brahman, we see the world, the illusion, because of our ignorance. Everyone understand that example? So another example. You go to the fairground, and you've all been to the Hall of Mirrors. Yeah, you've been there either yourself with, as a child or with the children. Each mirror shows a different distorted image. Some fat image, squashed image, tall image, slim image, face is big. If you don't know the original image, you believe that the reflection image is the real image. You believe that is real, even though in reality it's an illusion, a distorted image. Everyone understand that example? When you see the picture, the reflection of yourself, you know that is an illusion. The mirror changes the real image. Just like the three gunas changes the image of Brahman to this world. The reflected image is Maya. When you see the Hall of Mirrors, the reflected image you see, you can say this is Maya, an illusion. It's not real. Any clarifications? Does everyone understand the example? Brahman is the original. The reflection is the illusion. Like I said, you have to think about these examples. Paragraph 2.
A person trips over a rope in the dark. He mistakes the rope for a snake. He does not see the rope. He sees a snake. The snake that he sees is an illusion, Maya. Similarly, you see a world. You do not see Brahman. This verse calls the world Maya. Ma means not. Ya means that which. Maya literally means that which is not.
That which is not. Example, you see a snake instead of a rope. What is the snake? What is the snake? Yeah, Anita?
It's the illusion that you see.
The snake is the illusion. What is it actually is? What is what actually what is what it what is it actually? Hmm? The illusion is the snake. What is the original? The reality.
The rope.
When your partner says, hey, you see the snake, you say, hey, it's a snake. And your partner says, hey, don't worry, it's not a snake, it's only a rope. Your husband or your wife says, it's only a rope. You then understand it is not a snake. Why? Because you have knowledge of the rope now. Because originally you're ignorant of the rope. You saw the snake. But now someone says, hey, it's not a snake, it's a rope. Look, touch it, feel it. Ah, why am I scared? It's only a rope. Now you have knowledge of the rope. You're no longer scared. You see the original. You no longer see a snake, the illusion. Does that make sense to everyone? Yeah? Similarly, You see this world instead of Brahman. Why don't you see Brahman? Anyone? Why can't you see Brahman? Yeah, Dharmesh?
Because we're taught, you have to know that there is a Brahman. So you have to learn, like everything.
So you're ignorant of Brahman. Yeah. Just as they were ignorant of the snake, correct? Of the rope, sorry. Because the person was ignorant of the rope, they saw the snake. They scared them. Similarly, we see the world, i.e. the snake, instead of Brahman. Why? Because of our ignorance of Brahman. Yeah, Vanita.
It's because the illusion looks so real to us. Like, and we all are part of it. It feels real. That's why we can't see that it's Maya, isn't it?
Absolutely.
We all can describe it. Because we can describe it, we can all relate to it. So it seems real.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why it's so real. Ignorance of Brahman. No knowledge of Brahman. We see the world. We don't know anything different. How do we overcome this? How do we overcome this ignorance? Yeah, Dharmesh?
Knowledge to wisdom.
Knowledge to wisdom of?
Brahman.
God. When Lord Krishna tells us, hey, this world is Maya, it is a projection of Brahman, God. If you believe and understand this, you then overcome this illusion and everything in it. Just like your partner says, hey, it's not a snake, it's a rope. You overcome that illusion. Similarly, the Lord is telling us, hey, in this 18 chapters, that's all Lord Krishna is saying, hey, this world is Maya, it's a projection. It's an illusion. If you believe the Lord and you understand it, you study it, you too then overcome this illusion and everything in it. Yeah, Dharmesh.
So even the rope is illusion, technically.
Ultimately, yes. But that's just to give an example, a comparison. See, if I give you the absolute a knowledge you don't understand. But if I say desert and mirage, snake and rope, then we get to understand a little bit what we're talking about. But ultimately, we just say this world is illusion. People say, what's he talking about? Maya means that which is not. The illusion is that which is not. Your fat image in the mirror is Maya, that which is not. The snake is Maya, that which is not. Similarly, this world is Maya, that which is not. See, one day when you go through all the 18 chapters and you really think about it, the penny will drop. It takes time. One day the penny will drop. And then you'll think, Eureka. Now I understand. Any clarifications? It's hard to get your head around this. Everything around you, everything in this world, birth and death, everything is an illusion. And you are part of this illusion, caught up in this illusion. You don't know any different. After today's class, you may think, oh, okay, it's an illusion. For that one moment, that thought will cross your mind. But the day that thought is in the mind and in constantly, that's the day you become self-realized. Make sense, Shilovan? Huh? Look, if it doesn't, it's not a problem. I totally understand. It's not easy to... If you understand this verse, that's it. You self-realize. And you can't even tell this to anyone. They'll think they're a pagal. You're crazy. What are you talking about? You can't say this to anyone. Hey, this world is an illusion. You're not real. They have no understanding. Stop going to these classes. You're going mad. That's what they'll say.
People ask, is this world real? Vedanta, the philosophy of the Vedas, answers, Maya, not that, no. Anything real must exist in all periods of time, past, present, and future. The world cannot be real because it is transient, fleeting, passing. It does not last forever. It disappears in deep sleep, disappears upon self-realization. The world fails the test of reality. Therefore, you cannot take this world as real. Then is the world unreal? Vedanta says, Maya, not that. No, it is not unreal either. You cannot call it unreal. Unreal means that which never exists, like horns on a man or flowers in the sky. But the world presents itself to you right now. Hence, you cannot call it unreal. The world cannot be unreal, not real either. Then can the world be partly real and partly unreal? Vedanta says, Maya, not that, no. The world cannot be partly real and partly unreal. The reason being that reality and unreality cannot coexist. So the world is neither real nor unreal, nor is it partly real or partly unreal. Your world is Maya. Another word for it is mithya. Your world is mithya, Maya, an illusion.
That's it. Let's go home. No point talking about this anymore. Wasting my time, wasting your time. How are you supposed to understand this? It's not real, and it's real. See, that's why you have to so much think about this. And that's why you have to think in the morning when your mind is uncluttered. There are no thoughts, worldly thoughts. And when you then read this, it starts to make sense. But that effort has to be put in by you. I can give you 100 examples and it still won't make sense until you put your own effort in and think about it. But we'll give it a go. So let's go through this paragraph. People ask, is the world real? I've just told you it's an illusion in the previous paragraph. And now it's saying, is the world real? Vedanta, the philosophy of the Vedas, answers, Maya, not that, no. So it's not real. Why isn't it real? Anything real must exist in all periods of time, past, present, and future. Does the world exist past, present, and future? What does that mean, past, present, and future? The world cannot be real because it is transient, fleeting, passing. It does not last forever. When is the world not there for you? Yeah, when is that?
When you're in the dream world.
When you're in the dream world, the dream world is available to you.
But the real world isn't.
The world, in deep sleep, there is nothing.
Deep sleep.
You say, I woke up, I had a deep sleep, no dreams, meaning. Where was the world for you then? Shilapan, where was the world? Was it there for you? You weren't in the world, were you? You're in deep sleep. That's a different state. When you become self-realized, where does the world go then? What happens to the world when you become self-realized? Yeah, Anita?
You see it as an illusion yourself, like the watching a movie, because you know that you're not in it.
When you become self-realized, you no longer see the world, you see Brahman. Everything you see is Brahman, God. So the world is no longer there for you. Therefore, the world fails the test of reality. It's not available to you in deep sleep. So where is the world? It's not there for you. Therefore, you cannot take this world as real. See, everyone sees the world differently. Why? Why does everyone see the... Shila Ben might see the world as a kind, happy, friendly place. Vidyabai might see that world as a cruel, vicious place. Why? Why is that? Think about it. Why is that? Any idea, Shilamin? Because we project our own world. Each of us project our own world. The world is different for every single person here. One person says it's hot, the other person says no, it's not, it's cold. Sittle wears three layers and a hat, and I'm in my shorts and t-shirt. She finds it cold, I find it hot. Everyone projects the world differently. So therefore, when you're in deep sleep, dreamless sleep, the world is no longer there for you. So therefore, you cannot take this world as real. Then is the world unreal? Vedanta says, Maya, not that, no. It is not unreal either. You cannot call it unreal. Unreal means that which never exists. Like horns on a man. Man does not have horns. Flowers in the sky. There are no flowers in the sky. It's not unreal because the world is here right now for all of us. We're in it. We're part of it. So it's not real and it's not unreal. Hence, you cannot call it unreal. And can the world be partly real and partly unreal? Vedanta says, Maya, not that, no. The world cannot be partly real and partly unreal. Because reality, unreality cannot coexist. You can't have that together. So your world is neither real nor unreal. Nor is it partly real and partly unreal. Your world is Maya. The world is an illusion. Because it fails the test of time. It's not real or unreal. And that's why it's an illusion. Any clarifications? So this is why you need to think. So a couple of examples. We go to a movie. We get involved in the movie. It's a tragic love story, we cry. If it's a comedy, we laugh. If it's a thriller, we get tensed. For those 2 hours, we forget. But it's not real. We forget it's not real. Only when the lights go on at the end of the movie, we realize it's an illusion. Yeah. The less intellect you have, the more difficult it is to understand. A child watching his first movie, no intellect, doesn't understand it is a projection on the screen. They think it is real. Mom, the shark is going to eat me. Especially if they're going to see a 3D movie. Mom, the shark is going to eat me. The fire is going to burn us all. Similarly, we get so involved in the illusion of the world. We have no knowledge of Brahman, the origin of the illusion. So it's difficult to cross over, see Brahman. This is the reason why we find it so difficult. That's why Lord Krishna mentions in the last verse today, it's rather difficult to attain self-realization. Any clarifications? So if you understand this verse, oh, you see the world very, very differently. You behave very, very differently. You become a changed person. One of the reasons we get caught up is, first of all, we think we're all okay. I got a good job. I got money. I got a house. My kids are settled. We don't have a problem. There's no problem. I got a good job. I have 2 degrees. Everything's good. My health is good. We are happy and content in our ignorance. This is the problem. We don't take steps to find out what is the reality. We're all happy in our ignorance. Any questions? Jeez, this verse is like a bombshell. If you're really into it, this verse is like a bombshell. See, in the ashram, we'd spend 3 hours studying this one verse. Then we'll have to go and study for a whole week, and then we'll have to do an exam on it. And then they'll mark it, and they'll say, go and do it again. That's how much effort it takes just to understand one verse. That's the effort you have to put in. So,
the solid seeming world, this stone rigid world, is a mere illusion, like a dream. This world you experience when awake is no different from the dream world you experience when dreaming. Both worlds are illusory. The two illusions differ only when viewed in terms of time, space, and causation. In the wakeful world, these three are more defined, more precise, more accurate, whereas in the dreaming world, time, space, and causation are inaccurate, hazy, and blurred. The waking and dream worlds, therefore, differ only in degree and not in kind. They have no meaning, no substance in themselves. When you realize your Supreme Self, when you gain spiritual enlightenment, the waking, dream, and deep sleep worlds disappear. Brahman alone exists thereafter. You become one with Brahman, one with God.
So you're saying the difference between a dream and this world, there isn't any much difference. Whatever you dreamed last night and whatever you're doing right now, today, there's no difference, they're saying. Just as the dream was an illusion, similar, so is this. But this world seems a lot more real than the dream. That's the difference. But last night when you're dreaming, the dream was real to the dreamer. You know, you have a sweat. Someone's chasing you, sweat. Someone with a knife is chasing you. You get caught up in it. And if someone in a knife chases you in this world now, it's the same. You start sweating, you start running, you start being scared. There's no difference. Why does it seem more real, the waking state? Why does the waking state seem more real than the dream? Both are illusions, though, it's saying. Dharmesh?
Definitions and time. But like in a dream, you can be one place. Next second, I could be in UK, then India. In the real world, or the waking world, you know that it takes 8-9 hours to get somewhere. That's the difference. It's the definitions and the fineness of time and place.
Time, space, and causation. is more defined in the waking world than in the dream world. Like rightly, as you said, in the dream world, you can go from one country to another instantly. You get on a plane, next minute, you're getting off the plane. It takes 24 hours to get to Australia, but you're getting off the plane within minutes. Time, space, and causation is more defined in the waking state, more accurate. Whereas in the dream world, time, space, and causation are inaccurate, hazy, blurred. So the difference between a waking and dream world is just differences in degree. Not in kind. They're both an illusion. This is what it's saying. Neither have any substance. But it's so difficult to understand. When you wake up from the dream, you understand you had a dream. But in the waking world, you're still in it. You haven't woken up. That's the difference. When do you wake up? When do you wake up from this world, waking world? When do you wake up from this waking world? From the dream world, you woke up this morning. I hope you're awake now and still not dreaming. You woken up from the dream world and you woke up and you understand it's a dream. Similarly, this waking world is no different from the dream, Lord is saying. When do you wake up from this waking world? Yeah, Vanita?
When you realize that the world is Brahman, that's when you wake up from the illusion of the world.
Which is self-realization. That's when you wake up. That's why you see a guru, a swami, a real swami. You give him money, he'll say, no, take it away. I don't want it. Okay, buy me some food, they'll say. They don't want anything. Because they know it's not real.
Krishna mentions here that spiritual enlightenment is rather difficult to attain. One must put in tremendous effort to reach the ultimate state. Also, the effort requires a determined, unflinching, and single-pointed pursuit of the self alone. Only with such a well-resolved pursuit can you cross over the illusory world.
So, Lord Krishna is saying, it's not easy. Look, after this class, you may say, I didn't understand the damn word that I said. It's fine. I would understand totally. Because Lord himself is saying, hey, it's not easy to understand this. That this world that looks and feels so real, made of the three qualities, is very difficult to cross to reach enlightenment. Those who seek me alone cross this illusion. What are we all seeking? Are we all seeking Lord Krishna? Are we all just seeking self-realization? This is what he's saying. Those who seek me alone cross over. What does that mean? Those who seek me alone. Any idea? Have a think, everyone. Those who seek me alone cross over this illusion. What would that mean? Yeah, Dharmesh?
Simply, those who only look for me, nothing else in the world, will find me and spend all the time looking for me. If you're going to work and then, you know, I'll do some self-realization. That's two goals, you see. It's only when you put him, also God, self-realization as your only goal, nothing else, will you find it.
So what, do you go in the garden, sit under a tree and just meditate all day?
No, you find God in everything you do. And the more you do it, the more self-realized you could become in everything you do.
But you've got family, everyone's got family, work, business. How do we do it then? How can you just concentrate on me? I'm just playing devil's advocate here, Ramesh. Because everyone's probably thinking the same thing.
But then you also know that your family is illusional. Everyone is illusional. And you have to accept that term. And that's the hardest part.
So do you abandon them?
In a non-selfish way, yes.
Okay. No, that's a fair point. You're absolutely right. So how do we balance this in life? The Lord is saying, you're absolutely right, Ramesh. Those who seek me alone cross this illusion. But we are all family, homeowners, as the technical term in spirituality is called, we're homeowners. Yeah, we have responsibility. What do we do? We need to put in great effort, single-pointed focus, a determination to pursue and ultimately get over the illusion and reach enlightenment. This is what we need to do, Lord is saying, which Dharmesh has also said. Prayer and worship cannot be a part-time past time. Prayer and worship cannot be a part-time pastime, but a full-time awareness of the reality. This is the difference. So you cannot think of the Lord 10 minutes. You know, you do a prayer for 10 minutes in the morning. After you do it, you forget about it. That's not going to work. This is what he's saying. What can you do then? What do we do? So we just say, forget it, next lifetime. I've got no chance in hell this time round. What do you do? Ravi?
I said we stop measuring time or, you know, of the essence between one lifetime. As long as you focus and you're aware of what you're doing, you're aware of your obligations that you have and your desires, you the momentum, you carry on. But you're focused, as Dharma said, once you start seeing the Brahman in everything, you carry on, you know, because you've got your obligations. It's part of Brahman, you know. You're working towards self-realization, but not necessarily in this lifetime. Don't limit yourself.
Yeah, absolutely right. Ravi says, just go down that direction. Don't worry about when it happens. Right, Ravi, in a nutshell? Yeah, okay. Vanita, you had your hand up.
If you reduce your desires and control that aspect of your life, you will automatically go down that route because you're reducing being in the world, attached to the world, aren't you?
Reduce worldly desires, which is also helps you to get to that goal. Absolutely. What else?
I think the challenge is reducing but not creating more. That's the challenge.
Well, you can create more, but as long as they create the new ones you create are for Brahman, the right balance. It's okay. Yeah, Dharmesh.
It's more a mindset, actually. If you decide that everything is Brahman and you see Brahman in everything you do, you think of Brahman 100% of the time. Even if you dig in the garden, you see Brahman. You talk to your family, you see Brahman in them. The more you have that mindset that everything is Brahman, you are not doing your task, you are seeing Brahman and you're seeing the one in everything. So you are then following what Krishna is saying, you're following or looking for Brahman all the time.
Yeah.
And thinking of Brahman all the time in every action you do.
Yeah, very good. Anyone else? Prayer is not part-time pastime, but a full-time awareness of the reality. This is what we're discussing. How do we make this a full-time awareness of the reality? That's the key, isn't it, really? Still, anything to say? See, when we started this class, I showed you that image, or Ravi showed you that image on screen. And I said, remember that image throughout this class. What is this world? What is this world? Everyone should be shouting out right now.
Maya.
Projection. Maya.
Illusion.
Do you see a snake or a rope? What does everyone see now?
Rope.
Everyone sees a rope, I hope, after today's class. Otherwise, my efforts are wasted. So does everyone see the world or do they see divinity? That image that Ravi showed was actually Swami Parthasarathy. He's the one who sketched that, by the way. Not me. Swamiji did that. If you don't see the projection, if you see the projection of the world and you're in it, and you don't understand that there's a projection, then you're in the world and it's difficult. But throughout the day, from the time you wake up, if you can visualize that this world is divine, everything is Brahman. This world is divine. Divinity itself is just a projection of Brahman. Therefore, everything is in it. And you remember that all the time, throughout the day. It's a constant awareness of the Lord. It's a constant awareness of divinity. That's all you need to do. That's what they're saying. And you see, if you're aware of that, you have no trouble in life. Someone says something negative, it's Brahman. Someone says something good, Brahman. Good things happen, it's Brahman. Bad things happen, it's Brahman. Everything in this world is an illusion, including myself. What's there to worry about? I'm not this body, mind, intellect. I'm Brahman. What's there to worry about? But we forget. After this class is finished, that's it. You will forget. And it's not your fault. This is the problem. Yeah, so.
So it says that the world is made up of the three gunas, sattva, rajas, tamas. And we're in the world and we're made up of the three gunas. So does that matter in essence of realizing the world within the individual? So I'm assuming, correct me if I'm wrong, that the more tamasic and rajasic you are, the less like you're able, would be able to think and see Brahman in the world. So does tamas and rajas bind us more to the qualities of tamas and rajas in the world? And does the quality of sattva within us bind us to the quality of Brahman? Because if Brahman is divine, I'm assuming something divine is more sattvic.
Yeah, absolutely. Good question. Anybody? See, first of all, tamas and rajas, laziness, full of desires, they don't have time for this. They don't have time for this knowledge. The two involved in the world, either they're lazy, tamasic, they're probably still in bed right now. Yeah, if you're tamasic, Sunday, I don't get up till 12 on Sunday. Yeah. Or they're out doing something right now, if they're rajasic. I've got to do this, I've got to do that. So first of all, they don't have time. So you have to be of a sattvic nature. Now, remember we said a couple of classes ago, you can be sattvic, a good human being, and still not understand this because you're just a good human being. So you have to be sattvic and you have to have a desire for this knowledge. Yeah? You have to have mumukshatva, meaning a desire for enlightenment. A desire for liberation from this world. You need to have that within you. Then you will say, hang on, there's something not right. I have everything. Nice house, car, business, everything I have, my health. Why am I still unhappy? And the person who says, doesn't have that in them, that question, they will not be hungry for this subject. But a person who has a nagging desire inside them, there must be more to life than this. They will search for the meaning of life. So, first of all, raise yourself to sattvic, sattva. Be a good human being. You have to do that. You can't jump from tamasic to this subject. You have to be a good human being, be sattvic. Then have that yearning for liberation. Then you have some degree of progress. That's why, and I say you guys are very fortunate. We're all very fortunate because we all have this. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be listening to me for 1 hour, boring you to death. You have to have something in you to say, I've got to listen to this guy for an hour. I mean, how many years I've been listening to him? So there has to be something in you. No? You bring someone else to this class for 5 minutes, they'll be saying, I don't know what this guy's talking about. They'll switch it off. I'll stick to what I know. I can't stand this class. This guy's just yapping along for an hour. Talking the same stuff every week. So we'll stop here. I don't think we have the capacity to take the next verse. So any clarifications? So you need to study this verse. Maybe when the recording of this class is out again, have another listen to it, study it. Let it absorb within you. And this particular verse, and it will give you some degree of understanding. Birth and death is just an illusion. So you understand? You're not worried about death. Let it come whenever it comes. So, any other topic? Anybody else wants to say anything? Some verses in the Gita are so powerful. So powerful, it can turn your whole world upside down. And this is one of these verses. It can turn your world upside down. Everything you believe in turns it upside down. That's the power of the verses in the Gita. if you understand it. Chalo. Great. Have a lovely Sunday.
Thank you. Happy Holi.
Thank you. Happy Holi to all too.
Bye.